is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Millions of people around the world watched or listened to the funeral of Pope Francis live from Rome on April 26th, a solemn and historic moment for the Church. One of the voices heard during that liturgy was our guest today, Kelsey Gussie, a Vatican journalist who had the honor of proclaiming the first reading at the Mass. A graduate of Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg and a reporter with Vatican News, Kelsey has spent years covering the life of the Church from the heart of Rome. She joins us now via Zoom to reflect on that extraordinary moment and her journey as a Catholic communicator serving at the center of the Universal Church. So, Kelsey, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, George.
So how did this happen? How did you get picked to do the reading at the Pope's funeral?
I wish it was a really cool story. I really do. But it was very simple. My boss got a call that they were looking for someone in English to read and they wanted a female voice. And she immediately thought of me, turned to me in the office and said, "Do you want to read at the Pope's funeral?" And I said, "Okay, why not?" So it was very much the opportunity came and you can't say no in an opportunity like that.
How did you prepare? Had you been a lector before at your parish or in school or...
Yeah, so I had read as a lector in Florida, but then also as a journalist. You know, of course, we take public speaking classes. So reading in front of an audience wasn't terrifying to me. But I did still practice the reading at home in front of a mirror, you know, as they tell you to do, to practice how, like, the pauses you would take. So it was very much like, okay, recall what I've learned at university at Mount St. Mary's. And so I think I took a bunch of notes from that, but then also there were a lot of prayers said both by myself and with my family and friends.
What was that moment like for you, standing knowing there are millions of people watching you? What was going through your mind and through your heart?
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't think about the millions that were watching online or listening through radio or podcast or whatever. I remember thinking, okay, I'm not doing this for myself. Like I'm not the person that people are focused on. This is for Pope Francis. And I remember offering up reading, however it happened, whatever I said, if I messed up, if I didn't, for Pope Francis. And I asked Our Lady for help. But definitely when I went up to the ambo to read, I remember when I looked up after saying like a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it was actually like I just had this overwhelming sense of calm. And I have to just say that's because of the prayers, because otherwise I think I would have realized that there were millions of people watching.
Did you have a chance to reflect on the reading before you proclaimed it? Like, did you spend, you mentioned you spent time in prayer. Did you kind of think about the reading a bit?
Yeah, it's funny because I did an interview before, the day before, and I hadn't had a chance to look at the reading yet during that interview. But that interview, the person that interviewed me asked, okay, what do you think this reading is about? What was the message? And after that, I was like, oh, okay, I do need to sit down and really think about what this reading says. And it's kind of a call to action, you know, and in that sense, I thought, okay, this is kind of like my call to action. It's something small and something very little. But this is my way of reflecting on 12 years of Pope Francis' pontificate. And in that sense, it's my way of saying goodbye to him. So that was kind of my little reflection on what the reading meant to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. What was the call to action in the reading itself, do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, the part where it's Peter reflecting on like the apostles being called as witnesses, and them knowing what happened with Jesus in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. And I think the part of being called witnesses made me think, okay, this is my witness. This is how I'm called to be a witness in this moment. Again, something that seemed really small for me in the moment, but just, okay, reading at a mass where people would be hearing the word. So I was just kind of the means of getting the word of God out there.
What stands out for you at that mass? And it's a lot to process at such a historic moment. What will you take away from that liturgy?
I think the first thing that I thought of was the fact that I was sitting with so many people from around the world. I mean, even just the second reader, the second lector, was from Latin America. And I remember us talking beforehand, just thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be sitting next to cardinals. We're sitting across from dignitaries. We're sitting across from presidents and heads of states. And I thought, wow, this is such a big opportunity to see the universality of the church, because not only up there where we were sitting, where there's so many people, but then, I mean, from St. Peter's Basilica all the way to the end of the road leading up to Casa San Angelo, there were thousands of people who had come for, I mean, obviously the canonization of Carlo Acutis, but they stayed for the funeral. And it was just mind-blowing to see like Catholics coming together for something, and in that sense putting aside their differences, whatever it may be, however you may feel about whatever was going on in the world, everyone had come together for a specific moment and united in prayer. And I thought it was just really beautiful to see so many people from all over the world. And even just to think about the dignitaries, the heads of states, who, of course, not all of them are Catholic, but maybe all were touched by Pope Francis and his words, his writings. And so it was just very beautiful to see again, like that universality and how people came together at a time like that.
In your work as a journalist, have you had a chance to meet the Pope?
Yes, actually, I met the Pope twice. It's a huge blessing because before I've lived in Rome for almost 6 years, and it's only now working with Vatican News that I was able to meet the Pope. And I met him on two occasions. I met him in October of last year, because every 2 years, the Dicastery for Communication that Vatican News falls under, we have an assembly where we meet the Pope. He speaks to us, and then everyone lines up and speaks to him briefly, says hello. And I remember being at the back of the conveyor belt of people and thinking, oh my gosh, this poor guy has to go through all probably 200 people after speaking to us for a good 20 minutes, and he had to greet every single person. But I remember thinking when I got up there, my initial thought was, oh shoot, I didn't bring anything, to give him, or I hadn't thought about what I should say. And then I realized he could bless my rosary ring, which I always wear. And so I approached him. I said, hello, Holy Father. And I asked him to bless it. And he looks you directly in the eye. You feel like he's only thinking about you. He's only speaking to you. And so he blessed my ring. We shared a moment of just like smiling in prayer. And yeah, that was the first encounter I had. And it was just very special because I thought, wow, I never thought that would happen. I never thought I'd meet the Pope. And then the second time was this year, actually on my birthday, which is in January. And I was learning how to read at a general audience. And so the person I was following or shadowing actually introduced me to the Pope again and said, hello, this is Kelsey. It's her birthday. And he wished me happy birthday and gave me a little blessing. And so that was a great way to start my birthday. And in both of those moments, it was very much like he's not just the head of the Catholic Church. He's not just the Pope that I see on TV, but he's just someone who enjoyed spending time with people and definitely tried to connect with people in those little moments.
Almost like a parish priest.
Yeah, it was definitely, you could see his pastoral character.
For listeners who might not be familiar with Vatican News, could you tell us what that is and what are your responsibilities in Vatican News?
Right, so Vatican News, Vatican Media, Vatican Radio is kind of the umbrella. So it's an organization which just about 10 years ago became part of the Dicastery for Communication, which it means that we are a news agency, but for the Catholic Church, for the Vatican. And so we get our information from the Vatican. We're not getting the information from another source. And the mission, the goal is to share news about the church worldwide and about the Vatican here in Rome. And so we do that through written news, we do that through interviews, we do that through the radio and also social media. So we're all over. And again, the mission is just to share news from the church, and whether that be, the farthest parts of the world, so Tonga all the way to here in Rome.
What are some of your favorite stories on the job? What are some of the things that you've reported for Vatican News?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I think a lot of the moments that I've enjoyed have been interviewing people, because I feel like that's when you can really get to see different aspects of the church. And also, I feel like it gives meaning to what we're doing because you can see, oh, someone reads the article about this person who works in a church in South Africa, and maybe they would never get that story across, or no one else would ever hear that story if you didn't interview them, whoever it may be, and then you post it or write it up on our website or through the radio. Actually, speaking to one of my colleagues now, we're working on a story because with Pope Francis and Laudato Si, my colleague is from Malaysia, and she was talking about how even now there's a commitment in the local parishes to go green following Pope Francis, call to saving the planet, our common home. And so they've started reducing plastic. So no one can bring a plastic water bottle into church, and at their potluck dinners, they have only reusable utensils and plates. And everyone at the parish signs a promise to try to be green in whatever way they can. And so I think it's just seeing those very specific ways in which the church, the Pope, the Vatican has an impact. And again, I would only know these stories by working at somewhere like Vatican News, where you're able to connect with people on the ground and see how the faith is actually being lived out. There was also another story I remember in South Sudan. I interviewed a sister that's been working there and living there for years. And this was before the Pope visited a couple years ago. And the young people were so excited to hear about Pope Francis going to the country, but they had no way to get to where he was going to be. He was going to be in the capital city, and they were at least a couple hours away. And so, with a couple months in advance, they decided to do a walking pilgrimage. And so they walked from their hometown, and I think it was, I'm not 100% sure if it was 2 or 3 hours. They walked in the morning to get to where the Pope was, and then they waited, of course. And then after they met, well, they saw the Pope, they heard him speak, then they had to walk all the way back the same day. And for them, it was nothing super big. They were like, we wanted to do this. We wanted to see the Pope. He made the journey to see us, so we could do nothing less than make the journey to see him. And I think it's super inspiring to see that, it's just to see how much people, I mean, cared for Pope Francis, but then also just for their Catholic faith, to be able to see the head of the Catholic Church. It didn't matter how far they had to walk. It was not, are we going to do it? It was, we're doing it,
That's interesting. Here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, when the Pope came to the United States, I think it was 2015, when he came to Philadelphia, we did at the Catholic Review, we sponsored a thing called Feet for Francis, where we had pilgrims walk from Baltimore all the way to Philadelphia to be
Oh,
present.
wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's still a far distance. Come on.
Well, our guest today is Kelsey Gussie. She is a Vatican journalist and a graduate of Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg. And we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Where can a Master of Theological Studies take you? At Loyola University, Maryland, our program prepares you for careers with nonprofits, religious ed, campus ministry, law, social work, and higher ed. Choose from 3 specialized tracks or our certificate in theology and ministry. Experience small classes, mentoring, networking opportunities, and more. Apply by August 1st for this fall. Learn more at loyola.edu/theology.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Archbishop William E. Lurie ordained 5 men as transitional deacons at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Baltimore May 3rd. During the ordination mass, each deacon promised to respect and obey the Archbishop as well as his successors. Archbishop Lurie laid his hands on each of them to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the 5 were vested. John Russell Sullivan, Robert Trey Bart III, Stephen Kirby, Alexander Kulik, and Connor Schmidt will serve in parishes around the Archdiocese as they prepare for the priesthood next year. Deacon Sullivan begins his ministry at St. Mark in Falston. Deacon Bart heads to St. Peter the Apostle in Liberty Town. Deacon Kirby will serve at St. Bartholomew in Manchester. Deacon Kulik will serve at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen. And Deacon Schmidt will split his time between St. Louis in Clarksville and St. Francis of Assisi in Fulton. Archbishop Lurie encouraged the new deacons to serve with gentleness, consistency in prayer, and a spirit of unity. For more on this story and to see photos and a recorded live stream of the ordination, visit CatholicReview.org. Journalist Jonathan Thavis, a longtime Vatican correspondent, is offering insights into how papal elections have changed over the past 50 years. In the days when he could bike straight to St. Peter's Square to witness white smoke, conclaves were local and relatively informal. Today, they are global events, tightly secured and closely followed by international media. Thavis has covered four papal elections and was even invited to pay his respects privately after the death of Pope John Paul II. Thavis says despite dramatized portrayals in movies, church law strictly forbids vote trading during a conclave under penalty of excommunication. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Termite damage has become the latest challenge for the Cathedral Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Mobile, a landmark that has weathered more than 175 years of adversity. Engineers recently deemed the west end of the cathedral unsafe, prompting the Archdiocese of Mobile to relocate items from the sacristies and begin plans for repairs. The sanctuary, nave, and main entrance remain open for Mass. Over the years, the cathedral has endured a Civil War-era explosion that shattered its windows, a fatal plane crash in 1946, a destructive fire in 1954, and hurricane damage in 1979. Archbishop Thomas Rohde says the church will once again preserve this sacred space, calling the building a magnificent asset to the city. For more on these and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Lurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matosek. Our guest today is Kelsey Gussie, a graduate of Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg and a Vatican journalist who had the honor of proclaiming the first reading at Pope Francis's funeral mass last month. So, Kelsey, could you tell us about how you wound up at Mount St. Mary's and what that experience at the Mount, how that experience kind of shaped your career possibilities?
Yeah, it's funny because when I was in high school, I remember looking at a list of colleges. I looked at the Newman guide and the Mount was on there, and my mom fell in love with the Mount immediately. I took some convincing. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, it's in this small town I've never heard of. Why would I go there? And we visited, like my parents and I visited, and I fell in love immediately with it. Again, still trying to hold back. I was like, no, there's other universities I want to visit. But I think there was just something about the campus, the Grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes. It really draws you in. And so, of course, I went. I ended up going. And it was a great 4 years, especially because it is true that it helped get me to be here in Rome, because I had a professor my freshman year, who was actually my math professor, not at all connected to theology, which was my major, or communication. And he encouraged me to try to start being involved in Catholic media. So he encouraged me to start an Instagram page just to share my favorite saints, you know, churches around the area, things like that. And it's because of that that I think I really leaned into a career path in Catholic media, which then led me to Catholic journalism. And so at the Mount, I studied communication, took, you know, journalism classes, communication classes, and I studied abroad in Florence, which then during that time, I visited a university here in Rome which ended up being where I studied for my master's. And so after graduating from the Mount, I went to that university, studied for 3 years, and then ended up here, staying in Rome and working at Vatican News.
And you speak multiple languages, is that right?
I speak Italian and Spanish. My Spanish kind of mixes in. This is where Pope Francis and I kind of had a little, we connected, because sometimes at the beginning of his pontificate, he spoke Italiolo, we'd say, a mix of Spanish and Italian, and sometimes that happens to me as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, while you were at the Mount, you also interned at St. Anthony in Emmitsburg. Is that right? You
I
did
did.
some youth ministry there. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a really great experience because I mean, it's right next to the university, right? And so it was a lot of working with the students, the young people that went to this church, but it was a mixture again of spending time with young people, creating an environment that encouraged them to want to come back, want to talk about their faith, but then also social media. So it was definitely still a mixture of what I wanted to do, working with my Catholic faith and media. And honestly, it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And everyone that was at St. Joseph was really, really beautiful.
So before you came to Vatican News, you worked for EWTN, some other
I
places.
did.
Can you tell us about your experiences there?
Yeah, I wanted to work at EWTN. That was my goal. That was my end dream because I thought that's a job that it'll take for years to get to, you know? Because in the States, EWTN is definitely the big Catholic media. And luckily, at my university here in Rome, I met the then head of the Rome Bureau here, and he gave me an internship. And I worked there for a year and a half, just under 2 years. And that really gave me an insight into working in Catholic media here in Rome. And then after I graduated from university, I then went full time with Rome Reports, which is a TV agency. And that introduced me to working on TV. And I actually did a partnership with Catholic Faith Network in New York. And so that was my first role as like a TV journalist reporter. And so we did live reports from the Vatican here and talked about the life of the church here and how Pope Francis was, you know, his writings, his journeys, all that.
It seems like every time the Pope speaks, there's a different narrative that emerges depending on the source or who's reporting on what the Pope said. And why do you think that happens? And how can Catholic media do a better job of presenting the news in a fair way that's true to what the Holy Father is saying?
Yeah, it's true that definitely sometimes, and I think we did see that a bit with Pope Francis, and maybe it's also because he was definitely the Pope that used or was subject to more media. You know, I mean, we saw a little bit with Pope Benedict, but Pope Francis was definitely a Pope that lived in the media era. And I think it just, the distortion or maybe even just the misunderstanding comes from translation. From the first part, because again, he does speak in Italian or Spanish, or he did speak in Spanish or Italian. And so sometimes things get lost in translation for sure. And then, of course, there is just taking words out of context. If you only take a quote instead of the whole text or the whole context, then of course you can misinterpret what is being said. Our role as Catholic journalists, I think if we don't give people the full context, if we don't explain the background like we should, that gives the full understanding or do our due diligence in seeing if the translations are correct, I think we're not actually fulfilling our role in spreading the good news because our job is not necessarily to sell, you know, like our job is to share what the Pope is saying, share what bishops are saying in a way that helps people grow in their faith. So I think that's definitely our mission.
What's the responsibility of the person listening to the news? What can he or she do on that end to like cut through the noise of everything and on the partisanship?
Yeah.
I guess if you can say partisanship,
Yeah,
that goes on.
I think it's true that there is it is a two-sided thing, a two-sided aspect of getting the full information. I think making sure or discerning where you're getting information from. And I know that's hard because even though I'm a journalist working with Vatican News, there's a lot of noise, like you said. There is a lot of people who are trying to share the same information. But I think getting to the source, and that doesn't mean just Vatican News. There are a lot of other great Catholic media out there, but making sure that where the information is coming from is a reliable source, and that could be, you know, checking to make sure that okay, Vatican News says this, but I know that the Holy See Press Office sent a press release, and you check the information because it is a two-sided street. We both have to do our jobs as a listener and as the reporter.
What advice would you have for a young person considering a career in journalism in general, and then in Catholic media in particular?
Yeah. I say for anyone looking to do journalism, go for it. Don't be nervous if you feel like public speaking isn't your thing or you don't write well enough, because that will come with experience and you'll definitely learn how to be better. I'm still learning. I have so much to learn. And then for people that want to do specifically Catholic media, I think don't be afraid of including your faith in what you do. I mean, it definitely drives how you write, how you tell stories, because it's a part of who you are. And there is a space for Catholic media. It's not something that's dying. So I think just don't be afraid to go for it, and don't be afraid to be Catholic.
And where can people go to find out more about Vatican News?
So we have a website, vaticannews.va, and then we also have X or Twitter, Facebook and YouTube accounts, and Instagram. And it's Vatican News English.
Okay, great. Well, our guest today has been Kelsey Gussie. She is a Vatican journalist, and she is a graduate of Mount St. Mary's right here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. So Kelsey, thanks so much again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.